This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
Time check has just gone 11 minutes to 6, and it's that time again on Tuesdays. Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen, editor at My Broadband. Jan, good afternoon to you. Thanks again for joining us on the Afternoon Overdrive.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here.
No, great to have you on board, Jan. Quite a few things we hope to unpack for the remaining time we have. Let's start with Bolt in South Africa, AI-powered CA assistant, boosts productivity for accountants.
Yeah, so that's exactly the way it sounds like. We're seeing an increasing amount of AI tools becoming available, and this is one that's specifically targeted at accounting. It's very interesting to see how these AI tools are boosting productivity in various industries. Mm-hmm. And so this one in particular uses generative AI, the same stuff that ChatGPT uses. This one in particular is actually quite assistant. It's specifically designed for helping accountants with their jobs. So these kinds of tools I'm hearing, especially programmers and hackers who are using generative AI tools saying that it's really boosting their productivity.
So it just
helps you do just a lot more in the day. This uses the GPT-4o model, and it's specifically tweaked for accountancy.
Okay, and sorry, Jan, just to confirm, when was this exactly introduced? When did it come into play?
I don't actually know exactly when it was launched. I just know that these guys started making a big deal about their product now in September. So this is from what I know, fairly recent development.
Okay. Now we have the SABC TV license issue. Debt collectors are breaking the law. This is according to a lawyer.
Yeah, so we had a situation where we did some tests in 2021, I want to say. Mm-hmm. So essentially, what happened was our resident researcher got a TV license, but specifically because he wanted to get a TV. And then he realized, no, hang on a second, I actually don't want to get a TV anymore. Let me cancel my license. And found that there is nowhere on the form affidavit. So they give you an affidavit, but it's all pre-generated. You just tick a box. There's nowhere to tick on that box, I have never owned a TV. The form is all about like how you've sold your TV, or it got stolen, or the deal fell through, and then you have to provide details of those things. And man, the SABC stopped short of asking you for a blood sample. You really have to bare your soul to convince the SABC that you no longer have a TV before they will cancel your TV license. Everybody I've spoken to who have tried to cancel their TV license have said that it's impossible. And our resident researcher found that to be the case. They really tried. They contacted the email address. They phoned the call center to try and get more information about what they should do. And eventually they gave up. It was just too soul-destroying an experience. So fast forward almost 3 years, and our researcher's father gets emailed his account and says, hey, this person who the father would recognize as his son's initials and surname owes the SABC, you know, 1,370 Rand or whatever. For 2 years of SABC TV licenses and penalties, essentially. And that raised a whole lot of questions. We're like, hang on a second. And then our researcher, went back and looked. There was nothing on his TV license application or account or anything that would have linked his father to the account. So that pretty much, left one option, and that's that the debt collectors figured out that this person was family of his and sent that person his account. So we actually contacted lawyers to find out if this is allowed, if debt collectors mm-hmm. can in fact do this.
Right.
And the lawyer said, absolutely not. It is a violation of the act that governs debt collection in South Africa. And so if indeed the allegations are true, then these debt collectors have broken the law. They can be reported to the ombudsman and face scrutiny from there. So I'm actually curious to find out if anybody else has experienced this kind of tactic from because the SABC TV licensed debt collectors get creative. Like they try everything from offering rewards to settle your account to trying to trick you into thinking you're getting a discount when you're not getting a discount, like all kinds of underhanded tactics to try and get people to admit their debt mm-hmm. so that it doesn't prescribe and get people to pay by, whether it's buttering them up, whether it's cajoling them, whether it's threatening them, they'll literally try anything. Because just nobody is paying their TV licenses. The TV license evasion rate is at like upwards of 80%. I think it's at like 85% wow. at the moment. And that's the people who have a TV license who have stopped paying it. That doesn't even count the people who have never taken out a TV licenses and instead use somebody else's TV license to buy mm-hmm. their TV. Yeah. So they do. They've resorted to all kinds of tactics to try and collect this debt, and some of it is what one might call in the industry a dark pattern.
Right. You know, I wish we could unpack this issue more, Jan, because I've got a number of questions to ask. Maybe we can in a future program, but for now, let's look at Please Call Me Idea Man celebrating a massive victory.
Yes. So. Yeah. There was a bid by Vodafone. So Vodafone is the majority shareholder in Vodacom here in South Africa. And to bring people up to speed, Vodacom and Kenneth Nkosana Makate have been locked in a dispute since 2008 over the invention of Please Call Me. Or at least, if not the invention of Please Call Me, then a alleged verbal contract that he would be paid some kind of compensation for the idea that led to the creation of Please Call Me. So Vodacom appealed to the Constitutional Court now. So this would be the second time the case has gone before the Constitutional Court. It's a long story about how we got here, but the bottom line is that the first time around was about like whether Vodacom owed compensation or not, and the Constitutional Court ruled in favor of Makate and said Vodacom indeed owes compensation, but didn't say how much. They had to go back and negotiate. So when that turned acrimonious, the thing landed in front of the High Court again. Makate took it to the High Court and won. Vodacom appealed. The Supreme Court also ruled in favor of Makate and essentially handed down an order that said that Vodacom needs to pay him between 29 billion and 63 billion.
That's billion, you said, not million, billion.
Billion with a B, so which is a pretty ludicrous sum of money. Makate disputes this interpretation of the ruling, but I don't see how. The maths needs to then be explained to me exactly how it's not these two amounts of money. But the bottom line is that Vodacom has now appealed this ruling to the Supreme Court. It slated the Supreme Court's ruling. Saying that it's utterly useless. You can't comply with it because it doesn't say you need to pay Makati this much. It says you need to pay him in a range of values. And so now Vodacom's like, no, but like which, like if we pay him 29 billion, can this not just be taken on review again? And can he say that it was too little?
Yeah.
Like, you know, that sort of thing. I'm paraphrasing and oversimplifying.
Sure.
But that's the gist of it. So it's now in front of the Constitutional Court, and Vodafone wanted to be an amicus curiae, a friend of the court. And the Constitutional Court has said no. Makate opposed this. And the Constitutional Court agreed with Makate, and Vodafone is not able to join in the case as an amicus. So that's right, that's essentially it. The phrasing "massive victory" okay. is from Makate himself. That's all a direct right. quote from Makate, who says that he scored a massive victory in that.
Okay, let's see how far that massive victory goes. Jan, I wish we could have continued this conversation further, but we're going to have to wrap it up there. Jan, as always, thanks so much for joining us on the Afternoon Overdrive. Jan Vermeulen, editor at My Broadband, bringing us all these hot tech issues.